Greetings and welcome to Remedy Radio, the show that communicates solutions, helping you find, learn, and eventually teach remedies for life, love, liberty, and the achievement of both happiness and satisfaction for you and your loved ones. Removing your uncertainty and inspiring your curiosity.
Episode 10 of Remedy Radio is entitled James Corbett, A Responsible Voice for Independent Journalism.
Thank you for joining us on this very special episode of Remedy Radio, Episode 10. We're interviewing James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. James has over 350 interviews and several hundred episodes of his own video podcast, including many episodes of The New World Next Week with James Evan Pilato, and he's now appearing on Russia Today as an independent analyst. Let's see. James has also shown the media activism world how to do a whole lot with very minimal resources, and has definitely earned the praise and recognition and respect that's going his way. So all his material can be seen at his website, CorbettReport.com, and we're really pleased to welcome James Corbett.
Welcome, James.
Hey, James.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Right on. Well, James, for the few people who are tuning into our show, which is inspired by your show, who may not be familiar with you and your work, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to start your podcast?
All right, well, it was about 4 years ago now that I started my website, CorbettReport.com, and originally, the original impetus for this was about 5 years ago when I started to learn about 9/11 and other things, and I started to see information that I'd never seen and presented in the corporate establishment media that wasn't being put out there by anyone in a really respectable manner, and
it just got to the point where the discrepancy between the information that I was learning and what I was seeing represented in the mainstream media was so great that I thought I had to step into the void, and I was under no delusion that I was going to be some great mainstream media type person, but all I could think of was that this information was so amazing and it needed to get out there. So eventually I decided to create my own website, which is something that I had never even, it had never even crossed my mind to do. But once I got the idea, I just knew exactly how I wanted it to look and what I wanted to do. And within a couple of months, I had it set up and going. And it was originally just going to be a podcast, but very soon I started writing articles and doing interviews and other things, and then branching out into YouTube as well. So it's become this multimedia environment, which I never really envisioned ever in my life, and I never intended to do any of this, but it's just something that's spontaneously developed. And I guess, so the ultimate base of the Corbett Report is media critique, because if I had seen the types of information that I'm talking about represented in the establishment media, mm-hmm. I probably would never have felt compelled to actually start doing what I was doing. Even if they were just going to bring it up to ultimately dismiss it or something along those lines, but the fact that this information is not even brought up to have a debate about is what's really made me quite disgusted. And of course, over the course of that 4 years, I've started to really learn about the establishment media and what its role in our society really is, and what the independent media really can be. And I think we're all learning that together as the internet starts to develop, and as things that even 4 years ago would have been pretty much impossible or almost inconceivable, like video Skype conferencing every week to do, you know, New World Next Week or things like that. I mean, it's just really changed the game in terms of what we can do. So it's definitely still developing. And as long as we have the free and open internet, I'm going to be making the absolute most of it that I can in order to try to get information out there to people.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Commendable is what I have to say.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, I think a lot of people come back to you because of the reliability, the fact that you are consistent in always having episodes ready, and it's always of consistent quality in terms of the media criticism that you lay out there. Even though you have your own viewpoints, you don't inflict like a bias upon the information that you're critiquing, and you often do it with, I think, an appealing acerbic wit, kind of where it almost like nothing surprises you anymore because you've seen all these different perspectives, and it's just like you know, you have the ability to, I guess, translate what's really going on into terms that a lot of people can connect with.
One of the things that was really important for me when I started this and has always been important is that I always envisioned the idea that I would be sourcing all of the things that I said. The documentation list for my podcast episodes has always been the most important thing. And one of the things that I think sets my podcast apart from many others is that every time I have a document or I talk about an article or there's a video or whatever, I put the link in so that people can go back to the sources that I use to create each and every episode, and they can go and explore it for themselves, because I'm not here saying that I'm up on a pedestal and that I'm greater than everyone and that my interpretation is necessarily the correct one. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is these are the pieces of information that I find interesting, and this is the way I put it together, but by all means, go and, you know, go take a look for yourself and decide what you think. Yeah. And that has always been the most important part of me, part of what I'm doing, because for me, this is not about me, this is not about my website, this is not about my ideas, it's simply about the information itself and trying to convey that. And so I hope I can put it together in a way that will make sense to people, but ultimately it's not about any one individual ego, because if we ever make the information about one person, mm-hmm. Or one way of conveying this information, then we lose, because to my mind, it's about everybody coming together and everybody having their own style and their own way of approaching information. And if we don't take that into account and allow for the fact that different people will have different interpretations, and yet we can still get along and still create some sort of alternative movement, then I think we're going to lose.
Absolutely. Do you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say it's critical journalism instead of entertainment.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you're doing truly sourcing your information as opposed to, you know, fallacious rumor mongering. And, you know, there's a lot of color commentary media sites that just offer kind of like pundits making fun of what's going on, whereas you connect people with the true source, or kind of, you know, scrape through the illogic to get down to what's really going on. So one of the things we talked with James Pilato about was this kind of do-it-yourself ethic. So I was wondering with yourself, James, how if you had to go to school to learn this stuff, or if you also learned to do it yourself.
No, it's definitely self-taught, and I think that shows quite a bit. But over the course of 4 years, I've learned so much about video editing and about audio and about all of these different things. And of course, it's just a question of trial and error. And if you go back to listen to my early episodes, or if you watch some of my early videos, I mean, the production value is pretty horrendous. But thankfully, people stuck through it to find the information. And I still think, I mean, there's all sorts of things I could do to improve what I'm doing. I mean, even my infamous blue curtain and things like this. I'm literally sitting here in my kitchen in my apartment in Japan, my cramped Japanese apartment. In a corner here, trying to be quiet so I don't wake up my wife who's sleeping in the other room and things like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely not a big media operation that I'm doing here, but I try. I mean, I try to make it not slick, certainly, but I try to make it look as professional as possible, because I know that people will judge the book by its cover. Regardless of whether or not that's a good thing to do, I think it is part of human nature. They're going to take a look at this and they're going to say, "Well, this looks like it, you know, it came out of the back of a Cracker Jack box or something." They're not going to take it seriously unless you are showing that you have invested at least time and energy in trying to make it look good and sound good, so that it's easy for people to get into the information. And I know it shouldn't be about that, but it is to a large extent. So I think we have to do as much as we can to up our game and to make the media interesting and easy to access, so that people don't have to fight with bad audio levels or things like that to try to get the truth. And again, I don't think that should be a barrier for access to people who want to start making media. My advice is to just start doing it, and you can correct things as you go, and you can up the game as you figure out a workflow and how to do things.
Exactly. So would you then consider yourself to be an autodidactic learner at this point?
I guess so, yes. I mean, certainly all of the research that I'm doing and everything. I mean, obviously I listen to all sorts of podcasts and I have, you know, all sorts of websites that I get information from, but I piece a lot of this together for myself. And then when it comes to making media also, yeah, I've been basically teaching myself how to do it for years now. So I'm definitely getting used to just figuring out how to do things rather than being told how to do them.
Cool.
Yeah, something we can all sort of take a little piece of, you know. Mm-hmm. Makes it easier if you go in with more of an enthusiastic, more of an active approach to seeing something. Like training manuals I used to avoid, like the plague, and now it's like, where's the training manual? Let's see what they say about it here.
Yeah, it's like learning to build Lego or something, right? You just follow the instructions, you can actually make the thing that it says. But so, you know, it's I think people can be inspired by the fact that you can do it yourself and show progress from, I wouldn't say horrendous production value, but compared to the really high quality you're doing now, it's, you know, you can see the growth curve, you know what I mean? And I think that's apparent in a lot of do-it-yourself activists who really keep at it, and especially with the consistency that you do, is to, you know, constantly be upping their game, and it shows. It shows in the growth of your audience and in the growth of the respect that a lot of people are showing. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll get into the fact that it's the 4th of July in America, and that means pretty much nothing to any of us. Or does it? So when we come back in a sec, we'll talk more with James Corbett on Remedy Radio. And we're back on this episode of Remedy Radio, episode 10, with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We're just talking about how he grew into this kind of role that he never expected as a respected media commentator. And today is the 4th of July. We're conducting this interview, which is supposed to mean something about independence to our neighbors in the South or the East or the West, depending on where you live, or maybe you live in the States. But in a way, it's sort of been a celebration of throwing off one set of shackles for a more covert set of shackles, a more covert form of slavery. Maybe you could talk a bit about that, James.
Well, yes. I mean, certainly when we look at the way that the revolution in America and many other revolutions historically have devolved into the things that they were fighting against, it's disheartening. But I'd prefer to take a look at the ways that I think if you take a broad look at the scope of human history, you see the development of the idea of human liberty. And it's certainly not a straight line of progress, and it's not an easy thing to achieve at any point. But I think we have seen improvements overall in the course of human society, and we have thrown off the shackles of slavery to a large extent, and we are still working on removing other shackles. But we can look at the way things have devolved in different ways, and certainly the American government as it exists now is an absolute joke compared to what even what the ideals were supposed to be. And you could look at the ways that the founding fathers were not what they were portrayed to be, and all of those things. Yeah. But again, I think there's two ways of looking at it. You can look at the negatives, and you can look at the way things have devolved, or you can take a broader look and try to look at the ways that people really have fought and died for ideals that I think we can still try to uphold today. And I wouldn't want to ever promote the idea of utopian thinking. I think we're never going to reach that perfect system where everyone's going to be, you know, perfectly happy and everything's going to work out fine. And I think to some extent that idea is not only wrong, I think it's dangerous because people can be misled into doing things that they would not normally even otherwise accept by trying to reach and strive for some utopian ideal goal. But having said that, I think we can still strive to improve the condition that we've inherited from our forefathers and try to leave something better for our children and grandchildren. And that's ultimately what it's about, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So certainly the Independence Day, I mean, it doesn't mean a lot to Canadians, does it? But in another sense, I mean, I think things like the Declaration of Independence, for all of the faults of people like Thomas Jefferson and the other founding fathers, I still think that the words in those documents really do portray and capture and the essence of an idea that we can build upon as something that was truly revolutionary at the time and striving for something better. So I think it's a question of how we interpret it and how we use those ideas rather than just disparaging those ideas out of hand.
Cool. Yeah, that's a pretty good take.
Well, I would say that, James, you're an example of of actually your undependence on you know, the world around you to figure out what you need to do and go forward with it, right? So you took it upon yourself to just do what needed to be done, which is what most people need to do instead of being dependent on somebody else and relying on somebody else. We all need to, you know, take personal responsibility and take care of ourselves for the good of everybody, really.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I guess I'm doing that in a media sense, but of course we need to do that in every aspect of our lives. We need to try to get more independence from our food supply, for example, mm-hmm. or for every aspect of our daily lives, our monetary existence, all of that. We are so dependent, and we have become so attached to these overarching systems of control that are centralized and in the hands of a very few people, and obviously deliberately constructed that way. And the overall thrust of the times that we're living in is towards greater and greater centralization of control and greater centralization of these systems into fewer and fewer hands. And obviously, if we are combating that idea and combating those that thrust of our society, the answer is decentralization and trying to get off the grid in as many ways and in as many senses as we can. Energy independence, food independence, media independence, all of these things are important. So I hope I'm hoping to provide an example of media independence, but I'm certainly no shining example in any of the other respects, and I'm trying to learn from other people as well. So it's a process where we can teach each other and we can learn from each other. Yeah. And hopefully together we can start to construct. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. Together we can start to construct a system of independence. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that sound contradictory, but I think there is a sense in which we are building a movement which will allow us to be more independent from the system than we had been in previous generations.
I think it boils down to the ability to properly negotiate. You know, and having the right people around you that understand their field of study and they understand how to properly negotiate in their own fields of study, and then, you know, working with the people around you, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, negotiating reality, even just like having a sense of critical thinking and being able to take in information properly and actually analyze it to your own betterment instead of detriment, like with all this propaganda and stuff. So, you know, maybe you could tell us about how much value you place on education and this whole idea of the trivium or critical thinking now that you've learned about it exclusively.
Well, I think probably my work would be very different if I didn't try to take a critical approach, a rational approach to what I'm portraying. But I think it is extremely important for people to have an understanding of logical fallacies and to not fall into the trap of trying to present information without without understanding contradictions and how they can creep into our arguments and really devastate what we're trying to do. I think there is unfortunately a lot of that in the, well, certainly there's a lot of it in the establishment media. There's also a lot of it in the alternative media. So I think it's not all a bed of roses. Mm-hmm. Simply because something is alternative does not mean that it's good or factual or even really healthy. I think the only thing that we can do is strive to make our work as absolutely free of contradiction and logical fallacies as possible. And I think, again, that could be a bit of a utopian ideal that we'll never ultimately reach, but it's still a question of just trying to improve what we're doing and to be critical with the information that we're taking on board. Because if we don't stop and try to rationally think about the information that we're being presented with, we can be led down a lot of blind paths and towards a lot of things that I think ultimately are wrong-headed. And there's a lot of examples of that I try to go over and talk about on my podcast. And I've done things like a Patriot Mythology episode where I've talked about certain things that are propounded in the alternative media that I find to be just completely factually incorrect. Mm-hmm. And although it might be, I guess, it might be good to use these things to try to form some sort of community or something, but ultimately I'm not going to propound something that I know to be wrong, and I don't think anyone should. I don't think anyone should do that for any reason, whether it's works for their side or not. If a quotation is wrong, don't use it. If if some piece of information you find something out later on turns out to be incorrect, don't propound it, because ultimately that will only weaken and undermine your position. Right. And if we're not building something from the absolute bedrock of documented fact, then we're lost.
I agree.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. So,
well, it seems the source knows a lot.
Source.
Yeah, because the source, when you're watching all the news, a source said this, a source said that, and it's like, wow, that source knows everything.
Sources and insiders and senior administration officials are
who is
the source of
source?
All knowledge.
Yeah.
I want to meet source.
Experts.
I don't know what we did before those people existed.
Experts.
Frankly.
Yeah.
Expert right. opinions. Yeah. So with all your work, do you hope to inspire other people to start their own independent media and to kind of grow out and affiliate with those kind of people?
Absolutely. I would say that's the primary goal of what I'm doing is, hopefully I hope people will learn some new information and start exploring this for themselves. But ultimately what I want to do is inspire people to start doing this for themselves, because again, I'm definitely not the best person out there to be doing this, but I just want to be an example of what one person in their kitchen, in their apartment in Japan can do. And if I can do all of this, then trust me, anyone out there can do this, because, I'm nothing special whatsoever. So that's a message that
inspiring.
I try to explicitly include as much as possible, that this is nothing special, that what I'm doing is nothing special, that pretty much anyone with a computer out there can do what I'm doing. And so I hope that people take that message away and take it to heart and start doing this, because it is really not that difficult to get into. And once you get into it and you start to see the incredible effect that you can have, I mean, it's incredible to me to think that so many people are watching on YouTube and things like that. It's mind-boggling to me. But once you see that effect that you can have just one voice out there, it's amazing, and it's a great responsibility. But it's something that I don't take lightly.
Yep.
Well, I've heard you say that a few times, James, and I want you to know that I think it is special. I think what you do is special. I think that. You know, I think most humans are special.
Yeah.
And so,
well, I'll accept
especially
that, absolutely. I think everyone, what everyone and anyone is capable of is special and worthy of recognition. But in that respect, what I'm doing is not special. Everyone is capable of
it. You won't pat yourself on the back, but we're happy to pat you a little bit on the back.
We'll give you the props you deserve.
I'll accept it.
Because Canadians mostly don't recognize each other's accomplishments. We're all like, yeah, Jim Carrey, go down south and become popular. And so we're, as Canadian to another, we'll definitely recognize... Great job. So, do you have time for one more segment, or do you got to run off to your other obligations? It's okay.
One more.
Okay. So we'll come back in just one second with one last segment with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Thank you. And we're back with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We're here on Remedy Radio with my special hosts, my talented hosts, Adam and Rob. We're talking with James about the do-it-yourself aesthetic of producing media and inspiring other people. We're talking about critical thinking. And in this last segment with James, we're just going to kind of freestyle it. And anything you guys want to ask, by all means.
Yeah, Rob?
Okay, I'll ask something. Oh, go ahead.
What?
Here's a controversial question, and you don't have to answer it. We can edit it out. Charlie Veach recently changed his stance on 9/11, and I've listened to his position, and I get where he's coming from, but I think he's also using a lot of fallacies in his thinking. Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, in fact, Charlie was emailing me when he was on his little road trip, and so I got to hear about his breakdown and his apparently new revelations. And so at that time, we were setting up an interview. So in fact, I'm going to be interviewing him next week.
Okay.
Next week. So I'll definitely have more to say about it during the interview. But but suffice it to say, yes, I think he's from what I've heard, he's propounding. Old ideas. There's definitely nothing new in what he seems to be propounding, and things that I certainly don't agree with. So so I think it's going to be interesting to try to hear more about his position, but it doesn't sound like it's one that's based on a lot of solid fact to me.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I thought he's getting demonized pretty harsh, but I can understand how people are upset and also understand how he's like, don't demonize me, look at my facts. And if anything, I think people can take a lesson of trying to have a more civil discussion and actually get down to the real facts instead of cast.
I would agree with that if that
home.
Were the case, but yeah. It sounds like he's calling people who don't agree with him paranoid conspiracy theorists and part of a religious cult, which I don't think is exactly fostering
Isn't
the type
the
of debate that
fallacy?
We want.
Well, no, it's no, there's generalization. Yeah, I mean, we could do a pop-up fallacies episode on, you know, the at least what's his revelation so far, but I think it'll be interesting, since he respects your work a great deal, to for you guys to have a really great discussion, because I know it will be civil, and that he won't, doesn't strike me at least as the type who would want to insult you or generalize against you, so I'll definitely be tuning in to that interview. And I think most of our audience should as well.
I had one quick question before you go, because I know you have a really packed, solid schedule. And I'm always trying to look at other people and try to learn what they do to unplug and R&R.
Unwind and relax.
Yeah, basically. So do you have a sort of practice that you like to implement? Or
I'll let you know when I get some time for No, it is a pretty packed schedule. You're right. Yeah. For example, last Friday night I went out to a baseball game, so that's an example of what I can do.
Right on.
Just things like that. Just once in a while I'll go out with friends or something like that, but I really do spend so much time on the website that it's almost a daily activity. I mean, there's almost never a day off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do it to myself, so I can't complain about that.
Yeah.
But
if you're passionate and you love to do it, then, you know, people ask me, when are you going to retire? And I'm like, never. I'm going to be working till the day I die. I'm going to be learning and evolving till I die, right? So
if you're passionate, hopefully.
Well, that's the point, right?
And that's ultimately what I'm doing. I mean, all of this is great that if I can help other people to learn new information or whatever, but ultimately I'm learning new things each and every day, and I don't think I would be if I wasn't actually doing this for myself. If I wasn't on some sort of regimen and trying to put out this podcast and things, I would never have learned, you know, a fraction of what I've learned so far. So so it's an amazing experience and a growth experience for myself, and I love it. I love learning and I love finding out new things. So
cool.
It works for me.
Yeah. Hmm.
So you've also written a book, I guess, that's a collection of essays.
I'm writing a book.
Writing a book.
I've been writing it for years now, but it's coming out any time, honest.
Well, I'm sure it'll be worth reading for sure, but people can check out your website. They can see that there's tons, like literally, you know, hundreds of hours of
media. A bunch of rabbit holes.
Different rabbit holes to go down, but you categorize it pretty well. The interviews are always in-depth and very complimentary, I think.
Yeah.
And now people can see you on Russia Today. How did that come about? Did they just contact you and say, hey, we like your stuff and like to see your voice?
Actually, I believe they got my name from Adrian Salbucci, who I've interviewed a few times, and he referred them to me, and then they just started coming to me quite a bit. I haven't heard from them in a few weeks, but I think that's maybe okay. I was a bit saturation coverage there for a while, but they've had me on quite a few times to talk about Libya and Syria and that region. So so I'm happy to go on. Again, I think that outlets like that definitely have an agenda and are probably being funded to, you know, to present a certain side of things for a certain political reason. But having said that, if they're going to have people like me on to talk about whatever I want to talk about, I mean, they've never censored me or said I couldn't say anything. So
exactly.
As long as that's the case, then I'm happy to go on and use that media outlet to try to get the information out to a wider audience.
That's a wise perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, recognizing exactly how everyone kind of fits into the agenda. And then I can't remember if you actually ended up, but I saw you on the Alex Jones show, and he had mentioned that you might sub in a few shows. How did that work out?
Right after he said that, I was on kind of co-hosting or when he was away one day, but other than that, I've been on a few times now. So,
cool. And
so again, another great media outlet to try to get more information to more people. And I'm very, very thankful to all the support that he's given me over the years. I mean, posting my articles and things and videos on Infowars.com is always a huge boost. And, I probably wouldn't be anywhere near as well known as I am now without having had his support over the years, so I'm very grateful for that.
Cool, man. Well, on behalf of us, I think we're very, very grateful for your time that you made this morning.
Totally.
James, and wish you all the best, and we know you're going to continue to rise as an independent and very accurate and critical voice, so thanks again for being on Remedy Radio, and we hope to see you again soon.
Thanks, James.
Well, straight back at you. Thank you very much for having me on, and all the listeners at home, stop being listeners and start being active participants. You can
exactly,
do it.
Exactly, yeah.
Right on. All right. Peace, brother.
Peace, James.
Ciao. Take care.